culture is always going to change. Society, and there's always going to be things that fashions and designs and everything that come up and together and everything. And those things are always going to happen, right? We're always going to have different cultural things that come up and trends and designs and things like that, clothing and material and everything else like that. However, I think it's important that our church has a stand on different things, and it kind of understands that we are not to be fashioned after this world. That is a difficult degree of a level of that. Our church doesn't have a dress code. I've said that before. I'll say it again. Our church, we don't have a dress code. Like, we don't have, yeah, the Bible is your dress code. We don't have a dress code where it's like, you know, somebody can't show up here. Now, I would say that you wouldn't be very comfortable if you showed up immodestly. I mean, you wouldn't be very comfortable here. And some women that have showed up here, not being modest, have not been very comfortable, right? And a lot of times they never come back. But we would never tell them, you know, somebody's not going to walk up to them and say, you know, I can't believe you're wearing this or whatever. That's not going to happen. But we've talked a lot about modesty with women. And I think there's some things with men, too, that are just as important as women. Now, when I say just as important, I mean in the sense of you and I are to be right with God as men. We are to be right with God. Now, a way a woman dresses is going to be more important than the way a man dresses. Okay? You say that's bias. No, it's not. It's biblical. The Bible deals a lot with women and modesty issues. Because men are attracted with so much with their eyesight to women, we are designed to be attracted to women. Like, that's how God made men. They naturally are attracted to a female. That's natural. What happens if somebody doesn't have that? Then the Bible says they're without what? Natural affection, right? Because we see that men are naturally attracted to women. Their eyes are naturally drawn to the way a woman looks. Because that's how God made them. That's how God made us, and that's how God made them. Okay? Their look is going to attract men. That doesn't mean that's a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. Okay? But for a lady, nothing that you wear should attract a man to your body. Right? A man should be led to look at your face, not your figure. Does that make sense? Because there's nothing sinful about a man looking at your face. But if he's attracted to your figure, you know, and every curve and shape of your figure is showing, then that's not right. You shouldn't wear clothing that accentuates your figure. You should wear clothing to conceal your figure. Does that make sense? We've talked about that extensively, so I'm not going to talk about ladies as much as I am men in that sense. I believe that there is an all-out assault on manhood today. And I believe one of those assaults is to create the effeminate man. The feminine man. And I'm going to probably do a series on this, so this is probably going to be just one thing that I discuss with that, but there is an all-out assault on masculinity. Masculinity is hated today. Like, there's a desire to erase masculinity. The desire, the goal of Satan is to do what? What do you think the goal of Satan is to do with the sexes? Unify them, make them all one. So erase the lines of the feminine woman and the masculine man, and bring them all together into one. So much so that I go out in public sometimes, and did you know that, I'll put it this way, I believe the Bible teaches that women ought to wear long hair. Right? You believe that? Now, that level of, that length is not, there's no biblical, you know, measuring stick for that as far as it has to be this long or that long, but long hair. Which means that us men should have very short hair. So then there's no question about it with us. But think about it this way. If a woman does not have long hair, where does a man have to look to see what he's looking at? Right? There's only a couple places that a man can look at a female to find out what they are, at a person to find out what they are. I'm not being dirty. I'm just being practical. Right? What's that? That's right. So there's only a few places that a man's going to look to find out what that is. And then you just let a man to sin. See what I mean? So clothing and the way you wear, the attire that you wear, the fact that women wear long hair and all those things, all of those things matter. God instituted those things for a purpose and a reason. Now, we're going to talk today about this cultural norm that's here, skinny jeans and feminine men. And I'm not really going to cover feminine men exactly today, because I think it's a broad subject that needs to be covered. And it's more than just clothing. It's more than just that. There are various different kinds of jeans. There are various different kinds of clothing, whatever. I liken it to kind of like it. Well, in fact, I see men go to the gym all the time, and I literally see them in yoga pants. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right? I don't know what they're called. The UFC guys wear them. The jogging pants, they're joggers, right? And sometimes they just wear those. A lot of times guys wear shorts over them or whatever. You know what I mean? Some people probably don't, okay? But you see men running around outside there. Yeah, and that's what they look like. They look like, I just call them female yoga pants. Yeah, that's what they look like. And I think, so what is that? Well, I think it's immodest. I think it's immodest. I think it's weird, but I think it's immodest. I think there are trends that have become popular, but there's a goal behind them. It's to unify the sexes. It's to make them all one. That's the goal. So you can no longer look at a lady and know that that's a lady. Like, it scares me. Christians need to have children. And they need to have children so they can raise up children, so the children from other families in their churches can marry one another. Why? So they know they're actually boys and girls. Does that sound crazy to you or fanatical to you? Because I don't think it is. I think that you're going to wonder. I got a question for some of you. How many of you have been out and wondered if that was a woman or if that was a man? Yeah. And I mean, you're looking, you're like, dude, I don't know if it's a sin because I don't know what I'm looking at. I mean, I don't know if that's a man or a woman. Like, I can't tell, but I don't want to look at him too long, but I don't know what it is. Right. And these distinctions are being erased. Meanwhile, you have women that are so worried that they want to wear their pants and they want to wear their clothing and all that stuff, and they're more worried about that than standing up and showing the distinction of the sexes and being like, you know what? If the world is going this way, I'm going this way. Because I don't want to be anywhere near what the world is doing. They're so afraid or they're so selfish that they won't give up that to be different than the world. It's amazing. But I want to talk to you a little bit about this and give you, I want to give you a reminder of clothing that reminds me. Hannah sent me this. Yesterday we were at a Goodwill in Des Moines, Iowa, and there was this thing. And this thing was behind the counter, and it was a dude, sort of. And those things don't really like me. Like there's like this like. Yeah, like immediately where they just hate my guts. And it's like right away, like they know that. And it's like the same thing with like really jazzed out lesbian women that they like immediately hate me. Like they really hate me, like really like right away. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. They don't like masculinity and it just like bothers them when you don't apologize. So this thing was like growling and it growled at my wife when she walked by and it was like, and it said, I don't like you. Yeah, it was kind of weird. Yeah, and he said, I don't like you, like under his breath. Well, because they're modest women. All my daughters are wearing long dresses and you know what I mean? And yeah, so it didn't like that. I mean, the feeling was mutual. I didn't like it either. I mean, I didn't. It bothered me. It was gross. Right? I mean, it kind of makes me, like, I'm glad I was down south for a while because I was really getting kind of perturbed and I'm going to be back to it anyway when I go out in public here, like everywhere, that all these guys are limp-wristed, effeminate, like Fruit Loops. Yeah, they lead with their wrists and they're just walking around like they're effeminate. The bulk of them do, and I'm not making fun of them. I'm telling you the truth. That's the way they're walking around, and they want you to know that they're sending out the I'm feminine vibe. Do you understand that? They're sending it out on purpose. And then the butch women send out the I'm masculine vibe, and I'm like, well, like that don't faze me none. It is all backwards. Uh-huh. They do that because they know what they're supposed to be, so they're attracted to that. They just switch. Anyway, so I want to read you some things about this, and we'll get moving here. George Harrison of the Beatles, who rebelled against the way his father wanted him to act and dress, testified this. He said, going in for flash clothes, or at least trying to be a bit different, was part of the rebelling. I never cared for authority. Most of the dress today that you see, the differences and the changes, most of it, what you see, is rebellion. It's just a rebellion. It is absolute rebellion. Abercrombie & Fitch, the clothing company that markets edgy clothing featuring loose sexuality, is best known for its rebellious attitude, torn jeans, flip-flops, control, to the Business Week 2005. Thus, even the world recognizes the message of their clothing. They don't merely sell clothing, they sell an attitude. Therefore, clothing styles, they're not innocent. Each style preaches a message. And fashion designers are change agents. These fashion designers are specifically changing things on purpose. It's just like pantsuits on women preach the feminist message of equality of the sexes. Remember Hillary Clinton's power pantsuits? Sorry. Historians of the modern gay experience have documented the large proportions of gay men, listen, who have worked in creative fields such as fashion and theater, and service industries such as restaurants and catering. Ross Higgins, in his study of gay men's involvement in fashion in Montreal, has shown that gay men were involved at all levels of the fashion industry there. The same is undoubtedly true throughout North America and Western Europe. Throughout the 20th century, many of the top culture fashion designers were queers, even though social pressure called them to keep their sexuality quiet, if not secret. Indeed, many of the greatest names in 20th century fashion were gay or bisexual, including such figures as Christian Dior, Yves Saint Laurent, Norman Hartnell, Halston, Rudy Gernick, many other weird fruity names that I can't pronounce. And let's see, who was one of the founding members of the first American homophile organization, the Madison Society, Giorgio Armani, Calvin Klein, and Gianni Versace. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of these designed those skinny jeans and that type of wear. In the 1980s, glam metal band Poison, you remember Poison, wearing stonewashed drainpipe jeans, skin-tight acid-wash jeans, were also popular in the 1980s with most heavy metal bands, and in particular those in thrash metal scene, such as Anthrax, Megadeth, Metallica, and Slayer. By the way, what did they have? Pay attention, guys. Let me ask you. What did they have? Long hair, tight pants. What message is that sending? Androgyny. Who is the god of rock? Baphomet. They dress just like him. Think about it. They were often worn with white high-top sneakers or basketball shoes like Converse. What? By the late 1980s, drainpipe pants were largely superseded by straight leg jeans and different types of clothing like that. Tight-fitting jeans were also worn by pop stars like Michael Jackson and Freddie Mercury. Okay, so we also know that they were a bunch of homos, too, and among other things. I'm just giving you kind of a history, and then we're going to get into some things. The 2000s saw the continued rejection of slim-fitting pants and jeans throughout the early and middle years of the mainstream fashion. However, in the 2005, fitted pants were reintroduced to the mainstream market for women. This new style of pants was called skinny jeans. During its first year, skinny jeans were only sold online, and they were not available in stores. Initially, they were not well-received by the public, though there were some early adopters. It was not until 2006 that skinny jeans gained more steam in the fashion world. By this time, skinny jeans were being sold at shopping malls. Throughout 2007, skinny jeans received more mainstream exposure as fashion trends started moving away from the bell-bottoms and the baggy pants, which had been dominant for the past 10 years. Men's skinny jeans were introduced in 2008, became the norm by 2009. Skinny jeans first spread to the men's fashion in 2008. This has continued into the 2010s, entering the mainstream fashion in 2011. Since it has remained popular and eventually became one of the decade's defining fashion pieces for both men and women, they have become so popular that many men have expanded their wardrobe to include tight-fitting chino trousers, coming with variety of colors, but often in khaki, brown, or white. Women's skinny jeans saw the high-waist trend coming back in style. Just like men's, the female skinny jeans came in various colors, often in neutral colors like khaki and white. In Europe, skinny jeans for boys and men have a loose waist to appear baggy at the top, but skinny on the legs. There's some interesting things about this. I'm going to talk about some health issues with this, which is kind of interesting. People have never really thought about. I'm not going to be explicit, but I'm going to go where the Bible does. I won't go any farther than that, but I will explain some things to you and be as discreet as I possibly can with it. But it is the truth, and they are real issues. Victorian doctors theorized that tight trousers caused an outbreak of apoplexy in New York. However, the veracity of this claim is questionable, given the often speculative nature of early modern medicine in modern times. Some physicians believe tight trousers may cause numbness due to the compression of nerves. For example, this may affect the outer thigh, the condition. What's that? Are you wearing skinny jeans, Zach? Is that what's going on? Okay, all right. A recent study by Korean doctors suggests that skinny jeans can cause varicose veins. Among men, tight trousers may also cause dyspermia due to overheating of the body there. A study in 2015 documented the case of skinny jeans causing bilateral, perineal, and tibial neuropathies. Joshua, what does that mean? Nerve damage? Okay. Basically, I'm going to get into something that this man explains a little bit. I don't want to go into it too deeply. But there are some health reasons, I think, that I believe modesty is important, obviously, biblically. But also, there's some reasons to obey God. Amen? And there's consequences. The reasons that God commands us to obey him. And then there's also reasons when you don't obey him, there's consequences for those actions, I believe. Some of the doctors that have done tests on these things have said some things. Discomfort and pain are just a chunk of the issue. They did a survey of British men, and it was also revealed that half of the men who wore skinny jeans were known to feel tension in the areas in their private areas. So over 25% suffered from bladder problems. Have you ever heard any of this, Joshua? I don't know if you ever have, but okay, 25% suffered from bladder problems. Think about that. Every one in five men experienced twisted stones. This is confirmed by Dr. Hillary Jones of the Swedish-based brand. By the way, that's a biblical term. I didn't use anything seedy or wicked. You can look it up. Which specialize in products for adults who suffer from urinary fecal incontinence. Some major health issues caused by wearing skinny jeans include urinary tract infections, leading to overactivity or weakness of the bladder, low sperm count, fungal infections. In the early and mid 2010, some Middle Eastern Islamic groups disapproved of tight trousers because they considered it immodest and overtly sexual and a threat to local traditions. In Saudi Arabia, the police are instructed to arrest teenagers who dress this way because the tight jeans are seen as un-Islamic and then worn by and when worn by men, a sign of homosexuality. In the Gaza Strip, Palestinian youths caught wearing skinny jeans have been arrested and beaten by the Hamas police. I mean, I don't go for that, but I can understand why. I'm just kidding. Sort of. In Sudan, the police have imprisoned and fined women for wearing tight trousers. In 2012, unknown individuals murdered between 12 and 100 people in Iraq. Among them were emos of both sexes wearing tight clothes and emo hairstyles. That's not Elmo, that's emo. Just, do you know what emo is? Emo, yeah. In the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, offenders wearing tight jeans could face a 10-day imprisonment period that could be extended indefinitely until they pass a test on Islamic course. You got to take this test to get rid of your jeans. Anyway, also, incidentally, the 1960s were a golden age for skinny jeans. While they initially started as a counterculture trend, the high-waisted tight drain pipe jeans became so popular that they spread beyond mod girls and rock and rollers. Seeing actresses such as Doris Day wearing skinnies helped bring them into mainstream. So they had certain actors and actresses that... What's that? I think she just died, yeah. Yep. Yep. But I remember... That's not new, because I remember when I was a kid, I remember a lot, of, like, really young, back in this, you know, the 70s, early 80s, women were wearing very tight jeans. They were very in, those tight jeans and tight clothing and, you know... What's that? Yeah, and all of that was. And then now what's in are obviously the yoga pants. And that's what they pretty much wear everywhere. And it seems like to me the bigger the woman out there, the more they want to wear those. And for the life of me, I can't understand why, for the love of pizza, you don't want to hide something, lady. But they don't. And I don't understand that. It's just the strangest thing ever. Like, I don't know why they think that's attractive. It's not, it's crazy, but that's the world we live in today. So, yep. 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 They had those tight pants on in the 1600s. That's right. No, the French Revolution actually popularized those a lot more too in the French Revolution. And they, what were they? They were a bunch of God hating rebels. Yeah, they were a bunch of homosexuals. That's exactly what they were. Yep. They were a bunch of sodomites that were back then. Okay, David Cloud has an article called The Language of Skinny Jeans. I think it's very interesting. Clothing is a form of language. It is a social message, a fashion statement. Do you believe that? I think it is. I think you can reasonably make that argument. Wikipedia defines fashion as a prevailing mode of expression. The report acknowledges that every article of clothing carries a cultural and social meaning, and observes that humans must know the code in order to recognize the message transmitted. Makes sense. If you watch the halftime show, which I don't suggest doing, which I don't, but if you watch a halftime show at a football at a Super Bowl, their clothes are making a message, right? There's a message being given there. Usually it's a satanic, Masonic, very strange message, wicked message, right? But it's there. They're giving a mess. It's a message that they send. American fashion designer Rachel Zoe said this: style is a way to say who you are without having to speak. Feminist writer Virginia Woolf said, clothes change our view of the world and the world's view of us. French designer Jean Cocteau said, style is a simple way of saying complicated things. Italian fashion designer Prada said, fashion is instant language. The knowledge of this is the engine that drives the fashion industry, and the child of God needs to understand it as well. I need to ask myself, what message is my clothing broadcasting? Does it conform to the moral principles of God's word? Does it glorify God? There are many names and styles of slim pants. They are called skinny, super skinny, skinnies, drain pipe, cigarette pants. But what message do they speak? Yeah, cigarette pants. Kind of weird. But what is the message? Let the world speak. What do they say? That skinny jeans speak rebellion. They were created by rock and rollers in the 1950s and have always been associated with rebellion. Tapered jeans become most notable with the birth of rock and roll in the 1950s when Elvis Presley donned the slim-fitting jeans and shocked the country. Remember that? I think it might have been the Ed Sullivan Show. And he got on there and he was dancing. And Dad, wouldn't they not show him from the waist down because he was moving his hips that way, gyrating his hips? Yeah, they wouldn't show it the waist down because he was actually gyrating his hips and doing all the... I mean, he danced like a black man did. That's basically how he did. No, I'm just being honest. That's what he did. That's why everybody liked him, because he had rhythm like those old black blues guys. That's why they liked him. People hate that when you talk about that, but let's just be real. All that is jungle music. Right? That's what it is. It's pagan. It's just nothing but pagan music. It doesn't glorify God. Okay, so let's see. Drainpipe jeans and rock and roll were inextricably linked to create the bad boy image that remains today. Isn't that what it's all about? If you have a desire to look that much different than everybody else, what is that desire? Skinny jeans became renowned for their bad boy rock and roll image. The 1970s saw the British punk rock movement, where self-proclaimed scenester bands like The Clash, The Sex Pistols, and The Ramones put a notorious punk spin on the growing skinny jean trend. You can find that in How to Wear Men's Skinny Jeans, theidleman.com, if you really care that much to look into it. Yeah, that's what it says. This style is all about appearing effortlessly cool, says How to Wear Skinny Jeans, theidleman.com. Again, The Idle Man, IDLE, by the way. It's kind of interesting. What do they speak? Unisex. Usually worn by girls, but indie, emo, scene, skater, punk boys also wear them. Skinny jeans, urbandictionary.com, you find that. Italian fashion designer Prada says, basically, I'm trying to make men more sensitive and women stronger. What is that? Did you hear me? Now, let's talk about this for a second. What did he say? This isn't a Baptist preacher telling you this. This is an Italian fashion designer. What is he saying? I want opposites to happen. I'm preaching rebellion to you. I want men to be more sensitive and women to be stronger. I don't like the way God said instituted things. I don't want women to be sensitive. I want women to be stronger, and I want men to be sensitive. Right? What is that? It's rebellion. It's shaking their fist at God and saying, no, God, we won't be plentiful and replenish the earth, but we'll build a tower right here and we'll build it up to heaven and we'll do what we please. Isn't it? Unisex is clear rebellion against God's will and creative order. It is God who made them male and female. I'll tell you what. Let's go out in public. Let's go out in public. If we go out there, if we just go on the street corner and preach outside of an event and just start talking about male and female and watch how mad people get. I do it all the time. I talk about the fact that there's only two genders. And when I do, they flip out. And they lose it. Why do they lose it? Because they rebel against God. They don't want those distinctions to be there. Look, anytime you don't want to be what God made you to be, you're in rebellion to Him. You understand that? Whether it's a wife, a mother, or a father, and a man, or a husband, God made you to be that. When you don't want to do that, you're in rebellion to God. Right? You're in rebellion to God. You don't want to be that. And you have to fight that. Let me tell you something. We don't realize, and this generation does not understand. I'm talking to you 20-year-olds in this room, especially you 20, 25-year-olds in this room, especially. You don't understand how much effeminacy has been pushed on you. How much has been dumped on you. And how much you've accepted. How much of it has been absolutely accepted and not fought against and warred against? Why? Because nobody wants to look like the rough, rugged dude that comes out of the woods screaming at people and saying, no, I'm not going to accept it. I'm going to be rough and rugged and I'm not going to fit your little gay mold. Your little effeminate mold. I'm going to tell you what, when you stand up and be a man, you watch and you see in this generation what it's like, and you'll watch women try to buck that. And I'm talking about my generation too. You'll watch them try to buck that. You know why? Because that little Jezebel spirit that's been trained into them by society gets mad when a real man stands up and speaks like a man and does it unapologetically and will not back down and will just keep driving forward and not caring that it offends you or makes you mad. You'll see women steaming mad, man. I'll tell you what. I've been preaching for a while now, and I will tell you, I've had women get so angry with me, and I know they hate my guts, and they cannot contain themselves after a while. They just blow up. They'll blow up on the internet. They'll blow up all over it. They'll make up every lie in the book about it. Why? Because it's a real man standing up that's not backing down and it's not fooled by their, they can put their painted face on and they can act like a Jezebel all they want to, but the dogs are still going to lick their blood. You're still going to get thrown down from the building and you're still going to be destroyed. Ain't going to change nothing. They can't stand that. Just remember, whenever you have a prophet like Elijah, you're always going to have some Jezebels. Leave that. You can take that to Lee's bank and cash it if you want to. Say that right now. Yeah. That's right. It is God who designed marriage and made Eve for Adam. The male and female having distinctly different roles in the world and being fashioned according to that divine plan. God made you that way. For a man or a woman to wear that which pertaineth to the opposite sex is disobedience to God. And this principle is repeated in the New Testament when Paul taught that men and women are to be distinguished by hair length. The unisex movement of the 1960s paved the way for the homosexual rights movement for the 1990s. That pantsuit was invented in 1966 by a homosexual fashion designer named Yvette Saint Laurent. The breaking down of the created distinction between male and female in the pop culture has in turn greatly encouraged the homosexual movement. Mm-hmm. You know, here's what bothers me. If you know what's decent and what's ladylike and what's right, what bothers me is that women would even have a problem with that. In this day and age, when everything is so twisted and sick that they wouldn't want to stand for righteousness, why would they want to hold on to something else? And as a man, why would you not want to be as masculine as you can? Right? Why not? And as a woman, why wouldn't you want your husband as masculine as possible? Why would you want to discourage masculinity? Now, in your wife, a husband, why would you want to discourage your wife from being feminine? Think about that. I'll tell you why. Because rebellion. Rebellion gets into the heart. It's all one package of end times rebellion against God's created order. Psalm 2 prophesies that the people of the nations will rage against God's holy laws in the last days. They will take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Their counsel is against the God of the Bible. They will say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Bands and cords refer to God's laws, which are considered restrictive. So you have the free love movement, the feminist movement, the unisex movement, the sodomite rights movement, and every other form of humanistic rebellion. And it's all designed to rebel against God. And it's all popular. Hey, let's talk about the Republican Party for a minute. So the House just passed a bill for this Sodomite Equality Act. Let's see what these Republicans do with it. Let's see what they do with it. Yeah, he said they were trying to, Pence said they were trying to fight for homosexual rights. Right, and he's supposed to be a Christian. He's not a Christian, he's a Catholic. I wish people would understand the difference. I really do. What is Pence? Okay, I'm going to tell you what Pence is. Here's, you want this free? You can pay me if you want, but I'll give it to you free. I'll make you a deal. It'll be free. Okay. All right. Let me help you with something, okay? It'll cost you 2 pence. That's right. Okay. Here we go. Are you ready? So you have Donald Trump and you have Mike Pence. Pence is the career politician. Pence is the Jesuit handler. Pence is the Roman Catholic. All right? Pence, if Trump does not do what he's supposed to do, guess who will take over and do it? You want your insurance policy? That's your insurance policy. That's the insurance policy. Why? Because he's the token war hawk. He already understands the entire establishment. He was in the House of Representatives for many years. He knows all those people. He was the governor of an influential state. He's the insurance policy that makes sure that he does right. Just like George H. Bush was the insurance policy when Reagan was president. Oh, yeah. Who was he? Oh, he was the guy that was in charge of the CIA. He was the guy that had dinner with the person that shot JFK. Well, that's an inconvenient fact. How did that happen? Wait a minute. Why did that guy have dinner with him? Because he was the head of the CIA and his family was, and they're very influential, and they funded the Nazi war against the Jews. And anyway, I don't have time to go down that. That's getting spooky. All right, I'm done with that. But anyway, if you follow that down the rabbit hole, you'll find a lot of things out. Anyway, so here's the point. The point is that that's why he's there. He's there for a reason. He's the insurance policy. Because they'll get what they want no matter what. Right. Okay, anyway. We'll see what they do with that, though, because I believe that the Republican Party is completely taken over by the log cabin Republicans, which are the homosexual wing of the sodomite wing of the Republican Party. And that's why Peter. Yeah, that's right. That's why Peter Thiel, the head of PayPal. Right. The head of PayPal, right, was at the Republican National Convention and spoke on stage, and Trump all clapped and said, hey, it's great that there's, I can't believe there's a homosexual here at the Republican National Convention. Ha, 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 you dumb hick hillbilly evangelicals. You guys are a bunch of fools. Oh, he didn't say that. I said that. He didn't say that. I said that. Because they are a bunch of fools. Because all these Republican evangelicals are clapping. Trump! Whatever. Call me a purist if you want to. That's okay. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Yeah. It's just all right there. It's hard to ignore. Like, you can't just not look at that. It's like, don't look at this. Okay, I won't. But I can. It's right there. I have to look at it. Right? That's how plain as day as it is. But continue on your dream and make America great again. Wear your red hat, shut up, and keep America great. All right? What's that? It's going to be great. It's going to be better this next 4 years. I think, here's my prediction, he wins with a landslide. My prediction, still my prediction, landslide victory. Crazy Joe Biden is going to come in there. He is a Jesuit. Joe's not crazy. He's a genius. He's a Jesuit-trained genius. And they are pumping him up by gathering 20 other crazy people around him that are running for office to make Joe Biden look normal. Joe Biden is normal. He's an absolute genius. He's a sick, perverted pedophile. But he's a genius. And he's trained to do what he's doing. Uh-huh. No. Well, he gave me $8,000. That was pretty cool. I mean, I thought it was nice of him. Actually, you guys all gave me $8,000, the taxpayers. Anyway, I'm very appreciative for it, though. Well, I took it. Look, he doesn't have that relationship with God. He doesn't. Me and God, we don't have that thing like that. We're not like that. We don't have that thing like that. Drink a little wine, go to church. You know, we don't have that thing like that. Come on. I try to just do the best I can. We don't have that thing like that. That whole forgiveness thing. I don't think about God like that. Go Gaga. I know. Okay, let's keep going here. This is about skinny jeans, not about Donald Trump. Thank God he doesn't wear skinny jeans. Cheap red hats, trucker hats. Sorry, guys. Sorry, truckers. You don't? It looks like something out of a truck stop. Okay, come on. That hat looks like something out of a truck stop. I don't know how anybody could think that. I'm not talking about like a Wayne trucking hat, but I'm talking about like a truck driver's hat. Like that looks like a truck driver's hat. Oh, maybe. Like dad wants to make America great again hat. Yeah, he's talking about dad, your old 70-year-old guy wearing trucker hats. He don't care, he's sleeping. I'm just kidding. Sort of. Anyway, so you have the free love movement. Okay, we understand that. Okay, so it's all end times rebellion. Skinny jeans speak immodesty. This daring piece of clothing is great for showing your figure. How to wear men's skinny jeans, theidleman.com. This is for, it's designed to show off. I don't really get why a guy would want to show off his figure. It just makes you laugh. A lot of them are like really skinny vegan dudes that like, they're like, yeah, they're, So, yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, I don't care. It's just, no, it's the effeminate way. It doesn't matter if they're fat or skinny. It just, it doesn't matter. It's the point. You know what I mean? Play next. They have to jump in those jeans. Women and men who like to flaunt their curves and figure go for skinny jeans. That's at the difference between skinny jeans and carrot jeans. Difference between .net. Skinny jeans were known for their thigh-hugging, form-fitting silhouette, which created sex appeal. How to wear men's skinny jeans, theidleman.com. So they're admitting this. They're saying this. Muscle-wise, yeah. Right. The gun show. That Lee used to do the gun show. Lee did the gun show, and he had to repent of the gun show. He did the gun show. Wife-beating gun show. No, I mean the shirt. He wasn't really a wife-beater, but he... I know you didn't know that. Shattered Dreams Ministries. I shattered his wife beating shirt. His muscle Hulkamania ripping his shirt off shirt. He lost his tank top in one day, man. It was over. Hey, man, she's buying you shirts that fit now? Not 5XL. Stop that. Yeah. Skinny jeans are so immodest that we cannot repeat many of the things that are said about their effect and about what parts of the body are emphasized by this fashion. Says David Cloud, there's nothing modest about them when measured by a biblical standard. In the Bible, we read about the attire of a harlot in Proverbs 7:10. How could a harlot find a more immodest attire than skinny jeans unless it should be no jeans at all? Good point. Let's see if I can find that. There's another article by J.D. Hall. I don't know if you know The Pulpit and Pen. Have you ever seen that? He's a reformed guy. I don't agree with a lot of things he says. I do agree with a lot of things he says. I don't agree with some things he says. But he has this article, Why I Hate Skinny Jeans on Men and You Should Too. He said this. He said, I hate skinny jeans on men with the burning passion of 1,000 fiery suns. I hate them with the same enmity as a mongoose considers a king cobra. I hate them with the same hostility vegans feel towards Ruth Chris Steakhouse. I hate skinny jeans on men like I hate mustaches on women. Well, I would agree with that. I hate Grandpa. Grandpa's awake. I hate them, he said. Yes, let me begin my diatribe on what appears to be a slow news day, he said, by saying that my hatred for skinny jeans on men is a subjected hatred that is not anchored in chapter and verse of the Bible. Well, I disagree with him. I think it is. It's a modesty issue completely. But, I mean, he comes from a different background than we do. Let's see. He says it's not a purely theological argument against men wearing denim tights, he calls them, which I agree with. My hatred for skinny jeans on men is instead anchored in manliness, common decency, and sincere mourning for Western civilization. I know what he means by that. Because all around us, we are watching the fall of the masculine man. Hey, maybe that'll be my title. But it is. We're seeing the fall of the masculine man. We're watching it before our eyes. We're seeing masculine men feminized. And the bad thing is most of the time they don't realize it. They don't know. He said, the first time I saw men wearing the hip-snuggling, calf-hugging breeches was at the Billings Zoo. This guy's funny if you know him. He's a lot like me. He says things that get him in trouble, I think. Sometimes. I was more intrigued by who I assumed to be the four young homosexual and cross-dressing men wandering the zoo than the animals inside the exhibits. I found out soon after that, Austin sent ostensibly straight men were beginning to wear these garments. The young men weren't gay. They were stylish. In reality, any biblical argument that could be conveyed to disavow stretchy pants and on men could likewise be used for women. Well, I agree with him. I don't think women ought to wear them either. Now, he doesn't hold that same standard. He thinks, well, if a woman wore yoga pants or whatever, you know, that's kind of a woman's thing or whatever, blah, blah. But, however, let me say this to you. I don't believe women ought to wear those. I don't believe women ought to wear anything like that. I think we ought to be different. I think God's people ought to be different. I think women ought to be modest, shamefaced with sobriety. I think their clothing should not draw men to their bodies. Just shouldn't. Men are naturally already going to be drawn to the way a woman looks. They shouldn't wear something that causes a man to be drawn in a perverted way. And for the record, he does say Christian women shouldn't wear yoga pants out of the house any more than they should be doing yoga. I agree with that too. That I have to write about this bears testimony, he said, to the general ungodliness of our culture. It really does, if you think about it. The fact that we even have to talk about this. If your pants look like they were painted on, they're too tight. Makes sense. If your pants imprint your undergarments line, they're too tight. If your pants don't conceal every twist and turn of your body, they're too tight. If the only thing your pants leave to the imagination is your tan line, they're too tight. You see a lot of youth pastors in these churches wearing these, and these hipster pastors that are wearing these now. You know, he said, my hatred of skinny jeans on men surpasses that for skinny jeans on women. There is something innate about the female physique, he said, that if not tempered by biblical modesty, desires to show the attractiveness of their figure in greater detail than is generally wholesome. It's part of a femininity, even though it's sometimes misapplied. So he's saying basically their desire to have that they have that figure and they know it, they're wearing things that they shouldn't. They go beyond what God wants them to do, which is wrong. The Bible talks about how women are to be adorned, right? So let's see here. The Bible instructs women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modesty. We talked about that. When we let the Bible speak on the matter of dress, we can cast to the waistband the mantra that God doesn't care about clothing. How anybody could say that just baffles the mind. They don't. When they say that, it's because they don't know God. God invented clothing in Genesis 3:21 to cover skin. And clothing itself is a metaphor for salvation to be found in Jesus as the covering of our shame. The Bible has a lot to say about clothing choice. And yet when we see women dressed immodestly and men dressed immodestly, there's something different, though, when you... Honestly, when you see a man dressed in an effeminate way, it just, what's that? No. Yeah, a lot of them are to attract a man. That's why they wear them. And it really, when you see it out in public, when you see the feminine, when you see it out in public, it is very vexing. It just kind of, when I see it, when they, and they're, it just kind of makes me mad. When they're acting fruity like that, it just kind of makes me mad. It is. And it kind of makes you mad when you see it. And you just wonder, what is your problem? And maybe it's just the masculinity in a man that you're just like, what is your deal, man? Like, what? Why do you have to act like that? Why do you have to act fruity like that? I don't know. That's just what I think when I think of it. Maybe, like he says, maybe it's my toxic masculinity. Well, I think masculinity in that is toxic. It's supposed to be. Like God designed a man to be that alpha male, that leader, that strong man. Like that's how God made us. And there's nothing worse than seeing a whipped man. I'll tell you what I can't stand. I can't stand it when I meet people, husband and wife together, and the woman does all the talking and the man sits there like a puppy dog in the corner that's been kicked like six times in the stomach, and that like he doesn't talk. He doesn't say anything. And the woman does all the talking. And I've learned from experience. I've learned from experience about that the hard way. All right. Here's what I've learned. That when someone approaches me like that, ministry wise or anything, and the woman is the one doing all the talking, I know it's trouble. I just know it's trouble. Now that took me getting burned really bad. But after that, I learned that imbalance, there's a reason for that. And it means that man is not leading his house. No matter what the facade is, no matter what the picture is, that man is not leading his house. He's not. He goes on to say, and for preachers who wear such things, let me lay aside the fact that I have never heard a decent exposition of Scripture from a man in skinny jeans. I just find it repugnant on a man more so than on a woman. But why? Maybe it's just my heterosexuality. Maybe it's my toxic masculinity, but I think it's deeper. The Bible doesn't caution men not to go overboard with style. The Bible cautions women not to go overboard on style. Which means that when you see a man do that in that sense, to go that far, it's an imbalance in him. It's not right. There are two possible reasons for this. The first explanation is that the Bible doesn't care if men are immodest, stylistic, and gratuitously adorned. In short, this explanation is that God has a double standard, and it's fine for men to peacock around like metrosexuals with manicures and carefully coiffed hair. I like this guy. I'm sorry, I just do. The second explanation is the biblical writers didn't have to tell men not to care so much about fashion and sensual appearance because men by nature aren't prone to peacock around like limp-wristed daisies to begin with. Oh, he said, I'm choosing the second explanation. I think he's right. Peacock around. That's so funny. Historically, men have not needed rebuke for tasteless and immodest styles because being seen as a metrosexualized girly man wasn't a temptation. Typically, that has been a warning far more needed among the fairer sex. And yet today, what is considered manly is changing drastically. Recently, I've reported about an all-male cuddling club. Okay, no, I'm not kidding you. There was an article. Now, listen to me. No, there literally is an article online that you can see, an all-male cuddling club. So all these men get together. All these men get together and they cuddle. They cuddle with each other. No. No, not. It's not a deer stand. They ain't going hunting. They get together and they cuddle. I don't think any of you want to be a part of a cuddle club, do you? I won't shake your hand. But that holy kiss thing, I am not doing, brother. Recently, I had a report about an all-male cuddling club promoted by a university in Philadelphia that is designed to combat toxic masculinity. So the men get together and cuddle, gently caressing each other's ears and petting each other. What's that? I'm just reading. That's, it's a real club. I was thinking that. cuddling for men. I don't know how that would work. I don't want to know how that would work either. But yeah, that toxic, but it's that's toxic, but it's not masculinity. He said that's the gayest thing I've ever heard of that doesn't explicitly contain actual acts of sodomy. And yet this is done in the name of manhood. But see, I want you to notice something. Please pay attention. They're redefining manhood. What? Okay. I really need to talk about this again, but and I will in depth. But remember what I told you. They're not going to, Satan cannot erase the concept of manhood. That's not how he works. How does he work? He redefines it. Do you understand that? He redefines manhood. That's what he does. So he's systematically redefining man. And hey, what has he done with women? He's redefined womanhood. What is womanhood now? Be a strong woman. I am woman. Hear me roar. I have heard some women roar. They can roar loud. Right? But what do? There's a song about that? Oh, okay. Look, he doesn't hang out there. Why are you listening to I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar? I heard the worst song in there the other day when I was in there. I can't even remember it now, but it was so... Oh, something about a goddess. What a wicked witch. At Quick Trip? Is that what it is? But what does Satan do? He redefines manhood. He's not going to erase womanhood. He can't. He's not going to erase. He's going to redefine the terms. That's what he's doing with manhood. That's what he did with womanhood. Now he's doing with manhood. There's a war against patriarchy. There's an absolute war against it. And people will run from that term because they're afraid of it. They'll run from it because of how it's been bastardized and abused. Yeah. He says, and yet this is done in the name of manhood. Baloney. That behavioral neutering, that's behaviorally neutering men. It's true. You might as well take an actual rubber band. Never mind, I'm not going to read that part. The fact is our culture is struggling from a lack of manliness. I stop. Just keep going. The fact is our culture is struggling from a lack of manliness. He's talking about turning them into eunuchs, basically. The fact is our culture is struggling from it. Boys, which have traditionally done better than girls in certain fields like math and science, are now struggling behind and not academically flourishing. We've taken away the toys that reflect manly interests like tools and guns and given them Barbies and set them before trannies at library story time. He's being honest, yeah. Yeah, like tools and guns. Our teenage boys who once pursued real-life girls and had part-time jobs now stay home playing video games and viewing pornography and everything else, living at home until their mid-20s and not being men, not learning, not preparing for the future. Yep. Wow. Isn't that sad? We're not only losing manhood in our culture, we're losing men, which of course leads me to skinny jeans. You know, don't dress for the job you have, dress for the job you want is how the old adage goes. I would suggest that if you want to be a man, start dressing like it. Practically speaking, I can't think of a more practical garment impractical garment than skinny jeans. At least the Scottish kilt was worn by the Jacobite rebels as a military uniform in order to allow them freedom of movement to better impale their opponents. In World War I, the Scottish Special Forces, called the Black Watch, were still wearing kilts during combat and received the nickname Ladies from Hell. But I bet nobody said that to their face. Probably not. Kilts worn for practical purpose of work and combat are infinitely more masculine than the tight-fitting Stephen Furtick snuggles into with a shoehorn to preach in on Sunday morning. Look, if you have to jump into your clothes and wrap them that tight, you shouldn't be wearing them. Yeah, exactly. When I unload my pockets at night, I feel like Batman unloading his bat belt, or that classic scene from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome when Mel Gibson unloads his gear. I'm throwing out basic things no man should be without, commonly called everyday carry stuff. You know that. You know, stuff like guns and spare mags and pocket knives and lighters and pens and flashlights and wallets. How do you fit that stuff in your skinny jeans? He said, I'm part of the flyover country of America that has culturally understood agreement that men don't leave home without at least a pocket knife. I'm afraid that if Furtick or another skinny jeans wearing preacher, yeah, anyway, he'd be afraid of that. At what point does the tightness of your pants become a genuine health issue? We talked about that, so we're not going to get into that. He says women can get by, you know, with that. Because they wear purses, he said. It shouldn't be surprising then that the same guys wearing skinny jeans are also the ones strutting around with purses. I'm not making this up. They're known as merses. Man, purses. He said, I don't want to live in this world anymore. Or as John would say, Maranatha. Women have always had a sense of fashionability. He goes on to say, anyway, so basically. He said, I'm tired of being told I can't say a man isn't a woman and a woman isn't a man. I'm tired of being told I have to respect someone's gender choice as though gender were ever a choice. I'm tired of women who dress like men and men who dress like women. And for the love of all that is good and pure, so long as breath is still in me, I'm going to hate it when men wear skinny jeans. You know, I think of this and I think of this subject and this thing and the way he's talking. And I think of like Reg Kelly's sermon, how, if you listen to that, how rough and rugged his sermon was and how straightforward and strong it was. And it was good because men need to do that. And people need to hear that. Your children need to see masculine, strong men in this church. Our children need to see masculine, strong, God-fearing, holy, separated men. Men that don't blur the lines, but stand up very strong and firm about where they're at, what they believe, what they hold to. And they need to see women that are gentle and kind and modest and shamefaced with sobriety. We need not blur the lines. We need to make those distinctions very clearly. I'll tell you what. These topics right here that I'm talking about, especially this topic, in general, it is one of those that, and I'm talking about the male-female roles, it's one that gets me in trouble with a lot of people. I've had more hate because of these issues, and I've had more men get mad at me because of these issues, because I draw distinctions very clearly, because I believe this is going to be the upcoming battle. And listen to me. Because God's people have sacrificed and laid down so many standards and given them up and compromised so much with the world, they don't have a leg to stand on. Because how can we stand up against these issues when the very fundamentals we've ignored, keepers at home, ladies dressing like modest ladies and men dressing like men, all these issues? How do we even have a leg to stand on when they when the change continues, the transformation, the transgender movement, when all these things continue? If we don't stand firm in the faith, if we don't stand strong in these areas and stand strong for the roles of the sexes, if we don't, I'm telling you, they're going to see our compromise, Satan already sees it, and we're not going to get anywhere. We're not going to get anywhere. And this generation, look how many kids are here. And according to the numbers, there's going to be a lot more. What is it? Five on the way? There's five on the way right now. How many do we have now here? Do we have 30? We're going to add five more. 35 children. So what does that tell you? If you keep preaching keepers at home, it works. Anyway, but what does it tell you? What it tells you is that we have to be vigilant. We have to be diligent. We have to teach the next generation what's right. We have to. Yeah. If you're just going to stand up and be a man, it's going to be weird to people. They're going to, like, we already look like we're crazy when we go out and preach. Even if we have no banners or anything else, we just stand up there and preach. They already think we're nuts. You know, September's not that far away, right? Oh, boy. When we get down there, right? And we're preaching down there. We're going to be preaching Northfield before that, too. Your wife do all day? Nothing. She don't do nothing. Nothing. She doesn't have a TV, so I don't know what she does. What are you? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yep. We're praying for you, brother. Right? Well, let me ask you a question. How many people that you work with have a wife that is a keeper at home that stays home and takes care of kids or whatever? Except you. Do you have a lot to do? More family-based business or? So, real family-based type. So they don't need to. So you have a lot more. Is with him or she's at home. Had her go home. Right. And how many do you work with? Right, so it's not real, right? Andrew, do you have a lot? Right. Yeah. Mm. So it's against the flow of this world. Something happened about 40, 50 years ago after the, you know, where a lot of that changed. And now, right, World War II, that's right. And now we're into a place where, guess what? It's going to be, it's going to be different when the wives stay home, when the, you know, when they take care of their children, when they don't work outside of the home like that, and the husbands are providing and everything else, it's a different world. And a lot of these guys there, they have a bunch of, you know, they have a bunch of extra toys and things that you don't have because, well, they have two incomes coming in like that. And they wonder, well, how do you make it and how do you do this? No, Right. They may have one or two children. They'll stop that from having many children. You know, they'll stop that. So, because they don't believe the Bible. They don't trust the Lord enough. They just don't. They're not faithful. They don't trust God. And that's where we're at. And even those that are saved, there's more birth control that goes on in the church than outside of it. I'll tell you that right now. And I'm going to tell you what that is. That ain't nothing but a lack of faith is all that is. If you don't trust God enough to take care of you, your babies and take care of you, then you're not trusting God. You leave that up to the Lord. You're not God. You don't get to be God. Right? No. I mean, I look at the prices of daycare and I was just like shocked. $1,000 for daycare. Man, I'll watch him for $500. Man, what is going on? It never dawned on him that his wife should take care of her own children. Look, I'm just thinking about this daycare thing. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have enough room. Oh, yeah, churches are making a ton of money on daycare. Ton of money. Isn't that weird? It's odd to me. No, they have daycares. Yeah, a lot of churches and Christian schools have daycares now. Yeah. Yeah. They have Christian schools. Daycare. Yeah. And they make big money. Yeah. It's something. Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, no, they give you an envelope, and you put your tithe in the envelope with that number, and that way they can track what you give, and then they are able to give you a statement at the end of the year. Oh, well, they don't know what you made. No, they don't know what you made. No, they don't know what you make. They're depending on you to be honest. Yeah, they mail a tax form. Yeah, they do. At the end of the year, they mail a tax form. So you can write it off. Well, now the write-offs aren't there as much because they changed the law. But, which hurts these nonprofits, by the way. A lot of this is going to hurt these nonprofits. What's that? Yeah. Speaking of offerings, we do need a good one today, by the way. It's a good segue and a time to mention that, but we do need a good one. We had a low one last week. But so be faithful in what the Lord has you to do this week. But we won't give you a tax write-off for it. And this is the on year. And, okay, oh, man, we're in trouble. But I won't give you a statement. And I'm not a 501c3 nonprofit organization, tax exempt. Yeah, exactly. I'm for profit, not nonprofit. Anyway, but so things to think about. And definitely we're going to get into manhood and deal with that. I've preached a lot on women and modesty and things like that. And I think it's important that we preach on manhood. And I think it's important that we deal with that and really talk about those issues and this push and hatred for manhood today. And I really honestly believe that that's been going on for a while, but I also believe that churches have, I believe that Jezebel has crept in, that spirit of Jezebel has crept into churches, and, you know, emasculated the men, just stealing their masculinity. And that before you know it, you see this absolute difference. You see this reversal of the roles in churches even. And anyway, we'll talk about that more some other time. We got to get going here. It's getting late, and you guys are getting older, so we got to get you to bed earlier. So, especially Andrew, but he's looking a little tired. So, well, what's up with Andrew? Huh? Andrew can sleep like on a note, like on a second's notice. He can be out. Rachel, can you sleep that easy? No, she probably can't. No. What's sleep? I have 7 children. I never sleep. What is that? I have a James. I don't sleep. What are you talking about? James, do you sleep pretty good? You do? You didn't get kicked out of Ireland recently, did you? All right, let's just check in. You look like a fellow that got expelled from Ireland recently. Maybe that wasn't you. It just looks a little like him. Also the Netherlands. I heard something about that, too. Maybe that. And you're not allowed in England either. Is that you? Okay, I thought, no, that's not you. You can go to England? Okay. Are you kicked out of England, too? Oh, probably not. Yeah. Such a delightful chap. Steven Anderson. Anyway. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for this time. We pray, Father, you just would bless us now as we leave. And, Lord, and help us to take to heart everything, Lord, that we heard, and help us to learn and to grow thereby. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. And thank you for everyone here, Lord. Help us all to grow in the Lord and live for you and serve you. Sanctify us, Lord. Set us apart, we prayed. Strengthen our hearts. And be with all the ladies, Lord, that are here with that are with child as well, Lord, that are getting through some things and getting closer, Lord. We pray for Carly that you continue to be with her and Brother Jacob at this time, Lord, and just bless them. And help them, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you just bless this week and give us safety and bring us back safely. We pray in Jesus' name.